Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1927, or the release date of July 18th, 2014, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio first responders activate as Typhoon Ramasun hits the Philippines. The United States takes home the gold at WRTC 2014. German hams get limited time access to the 4-meter band. Spain extends its 60-meter ham band evaluation. The government of Brazil chases paraglider pilots off 2 meters. A CubeSat with a solar sail to launch before year's end. And a very happy 100th birthday to the ARRL. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1927 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
The Philippines Amateur Radio Association Disaster Response Group, known as the HAM Emergency Radio Operation, was activated on July 14th. This as Typhoon Ramasun threatened that nation and then headed toward the China coastline. We have the latest in this report.
Typhoon Ramasun, known as Typhoon Glenda in the Philippines, departed that nation on Wednesday, July 16th. This after causing at least 20 deaths while knocking out power to entire provinces, ripping off roofs from buildings, and forcing nearly 500,000 people to flee from its strong rain and winds. According to news reports, the number of citizens evacuated to emergency shelters reached more than 423,000. These were mostly in the northern province of Albay, which was the first to be hit by the typhoon. Before the typhoon made landfall, Philippine Amateur Radio Association President Thelma Pascua, DU1IVT, had activated the group's Ham Radio Emergency Operation, or HERO network, with primary operations on 7.095 MHz in the 40-meter band. Other frequencies used by these ham radio first responders included 7.119 and 7.151 MHz, also on 40 meters. All amateurs within radio range of these frequencies were asked to stay clear until the emergency was declared over. Also, prior to the typhoon's arrival, the Philippine National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council had warned the public of the storm with possible landslides and flash flooding. According to reports, the HERO network and other emergency response agencies were working closely with one another to provide communications into isolated areas and to assess damage caused by the storm. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
More about the typhoon and its aftermath in next week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. The 2014 World Radio Sport Team Championship is over, and the United States has brought home the gold. ARRL Executive Vice President Dave Sumner, K1ZZ, who served as the event's chief referee, got to announce the winners.
This is a team that was in first place after the first hour and never looked back. Not only did they have the highest multiplier, they had the highest QSO total, 4,572. They had the highest QSO points. That means that their contacts were worth more per contact because they made contact outside North America. But I know it's a tremendous pleasure for Doug, K1DG, who's been on that pedestal himself, now to present the gold medals for WRTC 2014 to N6MJ and KL9A operators of Kilo 1 Alpha.
As Dave Sumner stated, the first place and the gold medal went to the team of Daniel Craig, N6MJ, and Chris Hurlbut, KL9A. They operated with the call K1A and garnered the top spot with an overall score of 7,184,844 points. Taking the silver medal was the Slovakia team of Rostislav Ronko, OM3BH, and Joseph Lang, OM3GI. They were on the air as W1L and logged 6,816,100 144 points. Rounding out the top three was the German team of Manfred Wolf, DJ5MW, and Stefan von Baltz, DL1IAO, who took home the bronze medal. This after having scored a total of 6,421,383 points, operating as W1P. This year's actual on-the-air competition took place the weekend of July 12th and the 13th from sites in and around the city of Westboro, Massachusetts. 59 teams from around the world took part. More about this event, including a video archive of the opening and closing ceremonies, is at WRTC2014.org. The German Federal Network Agency has approved the use of 70.00 to 70.030 MHz by Class A radio amateurs through August 31st. The German National Society, the DARC, reports the restrictions are similar to those for the 50 MHz band. Those are a maximum of 25 watts effective radiated power, permission to use all modes with a bandwidth of up to 12 kHz fed into a horizontally polarized antenna system. This temporary authorization means that the 4-meter band is available in Germany for the first time since way back in 1957. The DARC says it will work with the various agencies necessary in hope of garnering a permanent allocation for the band. Hams in Spain are getting a time extension for their use of the 5 MHz or 60-meter band. Back on January 1st, Spain's Department of Post and Telecommunications authorized the use of several frequencies in that spectrum until this past June 30th. But following a request from the Union Radio Aficionados Españoles, the nation's telecommunications regulator has granted permission for use of the band to continue until November 30th, 2015. The frequencies authorized are 5268, 5295, 5313, 5382, 5430, and 5439 kHz, with a power of 100 watts PEP. Because these channels are not in common with any 5 MHz allocations outside Spain, hams in other countries making contact with Spanish stations on 60 meters are reminded that their own transmitted signal must remain within their nation's designated frequency allocation. The International Amateur Radio Union Monitoring System newsletter reports on action against illegal Brazilian hang glider and paraglider communications on 144 through 148 megahertz and a French intruder on 40 meters. Amateur Radio Newsline's Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, has the details.
After receiving complaints that unlicensed stations were using the 2-meter band to coordinate sport flying activities, the Brazilian telecommunications agency Anatel took direct action against the intruders early last April. That's when Brazilian federal agents visited a launching hill in the city of Caraguatatuba, located in the northern shore of the state of Sao Paulo. There, they detected illegal aeronautical mobile communications in the 144 to 148 megahertz amateur band and traced it directly to sports pilots flying hang gliders and paragliders. The agents confiscated a number of handheld transceivers being used by the non-ham sports pilots and cited them for unauthorized use of these devices. Anatel also ordered all sports pilots to move any radio operations away from the ham radio spectrum and into what it termed a more appropriate telecommunications service, such as that nation's limited service or aeronautical mobile service. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, near Los Angeles.
Meantime, in response to complaints about a long CW transmission on 7.166 MHz every Wednesday afternoon, the monitoring service traced those to France's the Center for Telecommunication and Specialized Data Processing, northeast of Paris. These transmissions were made up of encrypted five-letter groups. This finding led to a formal complaint being filed with the appropriate authorities. At airtime, the outcome of this one is unknown. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline. Heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W9RCA repeater, serving Indianapolis, Indiana. The emergency communications provided by radio amateurs during and after a super typhoon that hit the Philippines will be among many presentations and displays at the Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference, or GAREC, slated for August 14th to the 15th. This in conjunction with Alabama's Huntsville Hamfest. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, reports.
As part of the Garrick 2014 program, a detailed presentation will be given on the super typhoon Haiyan that struck the central part of the Philippines in November of 2013. Typhoon Haiyan, also known as Typhoon Yolanda, was one of the strongest tropical cyclones ever recorded and devastated portions of Southeast Asia, particularly the Philippines. Volunteer response to it involved over 100 radio amateurs in the Philippines-based Ham Emergency Radio Operation Network. Other presentations expected to be given are the work of radio amateurs following flooding in Brazil and the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan. Delegates will also get to see the work of Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network and the Military Auxiliary Radio System. Formal message handling, the National Traffic Service, and third-party traffic will likely be discussed. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB reporting.
Attendance at this year's Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference will also offer delegates the opportunity to attend the Huntsville Hamfest, which this year is an ARRL centennial event. It's being held the weekend of August 16th and 17th at Huntsville's Von Braun Center. For details on the Huntsville Hamfest, simply take your web browser to hamfest.org. On June 5th, the resident agent of the FCC's Portland Office of the Enforcement Bureau issued a notice of violation to Oregon amateur service licensee Thomas Ryan Price, W7WL. This for his alleged violation of sections 97.101D, 97.113A4, and 97.119A of the amateur service rules. According to the regulatory agency, this past May 13th, its agents used radio direction finding techniques to pinpoint the source of an interfering signal to Price's residence in the city of Sweet Home. At that time, the agents claimed that Price was the source of malicious interference to other radio communications on 3.908 MHz by transmitting music on the frequency and failure to properly identify at the end of each transmission. When it issued the notice of violation, the FCC told Price that in accordance with Section 1.89 of the agency's rule, he had 20 days to submit a written statement concerning this matter. The response had to fully explain each violation and contain a statement of the specific actions taken to correct each and preclude recurrence, including a timeline for completion of any pending corrective actions. That date is now passed. At that time, Price was also directed to support his response with an affidavit or declaration under penalty of perjury signed and dated by him showing personal knowledge of the representations provided in his response, verifying the truth and accuracy of the information, and confirming that all of the information requested by the notice, which is in the licensee's possession, custody, control, or knowledge, has been produced. The FCC stated that to knowingly and willfully make any false statement or conceal any material fact in reply to this notice is punishable by fine or imprisonment under Title 18 of the U.S. Code. It also stated that the Commission will use all relevant material information before it, including any information disclosed in his reply, to determine what, if any, enforcement action is required to ensure compliance. The FCC has voted unanimously to apply online closed captioning mandates to video clips that originally aired on TV. The mandate applies only to clips from programs that were originally captioned on TV and only to sites owned or controlled by that TV distributor. It does not apply to library programming that predates the compliance deadlines. The new rules will be phased in gradually, starting in January of 2016, with the process to be completed by July of 2017. Officially licensed amateur radio operators may now use their call sign as their alternate name or nickname on their individual Facebook profiles. This thanks to Richard Bobbitt, NW7OR, who recently organized a petition drive on the social media site in the hope of achieving this goal. It turned out that Jeff Ferland, KB1PNB, who works at the Facebook headquarters in Menlo Park, California, found the petition on an amateur radio Facebook group to which he belongs. After doing a bit of research, Ferland wrote the necessary code, then got it reviewed and approved. To add your call, Bobbitt says to go to Settings, then click on Edit Your Name. In the middle of the page, you will see the words Alternate Name. That's where you can add your call sign. Bobbitt says that the petition was originally the idea of Richard Alcorn, KW7PTL, without whom this may not have happened so easily and quickly. Over 1,000 hams on Facebook signed the petition within the first week or so after it was posted on the various Facebook ham radio pages. The 73rd annual UNESCO Heritage Flower Parade will take place in the city of Zundert in the Netherlands on September 7th. In celebration of this event, that nation's National Amateur Radio Society, the VERON, V-E-R-O-N, will activate the special call signs PA73CORSO, PA73EBP, and PA73LOU. All three calls will be operational between August 12th and September 8th from Zundert and surroundings. A special QSL card and an award will be available for contacting this event. Full information, including QSL routing, is online at qrz.com/db/PA73CORSO. Radio Amateurs of Canada will be holding its 2014 annual general meeting on July 27th in New Westminster, British Columbia. This year's gathering is being hosted by the Orca DX and Contest Club and will be held in conjunction with the 59th annual Vancouver Pacific Northwest DX Convention. The location is the Inn on the Quay in New Westminster. All Radio Amateurs of Canada members who can make the gathering are invited to attend. Some names in the news. First up is Craig Thompson, K9CT, who has been elected to the Board of Directors of the Northern California DX Foundation. In addition to normal director duties, K9CT will help the foundation to develop and execute a program for significant contributions through estate giving and tax planning. Tim Goodrich, K6TW, has been elected to the Torrance, California City Council. Originally licensed as KC2DDS at the age of 17, Goodrich, now 34, holds an extra class license. At 18, he enlisted in the Air Force, where he served as a communications, navigation, and cryptological technician on the E-3 AWACS early warning system aircraft. During his time in the military, he was deployed to the Middle East on three occasions. This in support of the no-fly zones over Iraq, Afghanistan, and the pre-war Iraq bombing. After finishing his military duty, Goodrich went back to school, earning his master's in public administration from Utah University in Southern California. He also became active in his community, especially as a volunteer with the Torrance Police and Fire Departments, doing communications and community emergency response teamwork. In his spare time, K6TW enjoys operating CW on the high-frequency bands and summits on the air activities. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. The United Kingdom's Surrey Space Center is embarking on a very fascinating new project that will include amateur radio, as we hear from Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
They're calling it CubeSail and describing it as an exciting, groundbreaking educational satellite project from the Surrey Space Center, one that its builders hope to launch into a 680-kilometer sun-synchronous orbit sometime in December of this year. CubeSail will be a 3-unit-sized CubeSat with a 6-kilogram mass. A key feature of this tiny bird will be its ability to deploy a 25-square-meter sail structure. This will be used to demonstrate the propulsion effect of solar radiation pressure, sometimes referred to as solar sailing. It will also show the increased deorbiting capabilities of the sail as a drag augmentation device. The satellite will provide beacons amateur radio operators will be able to receive. At the moment, the designers are considering the use of a 9600 bit per second AX25 protocol on the downlink. The International Amateur Radio Union Satellite Frequency Coordination Panel has already assigned CubeSail a downlink frequency of 435.24 MHz. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
More about this rather exciting project is on the web at tinyurl.com/CubeSail, with sail being spelled S-A-I-L. NASA's International Earth-Sun Explorer, also known as IC-3, will not be resuming its original mission after all. This after the citizen scientists, engineers, and ham radio operators trying to rescue it discovered on July 9th that the almost four-decade-old Space Observatory's propulsion system is no longer working. According to Keith Cowing, who spearheaded the IC-3 reboot project, along with Dennis Wingo, KD4ETA, there was no burn and no detected acceleration after the July 9th scheduled burn. The failure may have come as a surprise to controllers. The spacecraft's small hydrazine thrusters had been fired successfully on July 3rd, and systems appeared nominal. And on July 8th, the spacecraft's thrusters even managed to perform one of the six burns that would have set it up for a return to the orbit into which it was launched in 1978. But all is not lost. Controllers at the IC-3 reboot project were able to place the spacecraft into its science mode using the big dish antenna at the Arecibo Radio Observatory in Puerto Rico. This will allow its instruments to collect data and radio it back to Earth for several months before it flies out of practical communications range. In addition to Wingo, other hams who were involved in the IC-3 reboot project include Akeem Volhart, DH2VA, and Mario Lorenz, DL5MLO. Some skilled Morse operators are needed the weekend of July 26th and 27th to operate reproductions of World War I telegraph equipment for a special event in the United Kingdom. The replica telegraph equipment is being constructed by members of the Trowbridge and District Amateur Radio Club to be used in the event that commemorates the start of World War I. But there is a critical shortage of CW operators to demonstrate the stations. Any UK ham willing to volunteer should contact G0GRI via the club's website at radioclubs.net/TrowbridgeARC. In DX, word that RA0CHI will be active from Puchitina Island from July 20th to the 30th. Operations will be on 160 through 10 meters, QSL via his home call sign. HA9MDN will be on the air stroke 9A from Veer Island between July 25th and August 3rd. Activity will be on SSB, RIDI, PSK, and SSTV. QSL via his home call sign by the Bureau or EQSL. OZ0J will be active stroke KH0 from Saipan's Island Rental Shack between August 26th and September 2nd. Operations will be on all possible bands between 80 and 6 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. All QSOs will be uploaded to Club Log once a day depending on the internet connection. QSL OZ0J either direct or via the Bureau. ZS6AYU will be operational from Botswana as A25GF between September 1st and the 3rd. This will be on 6 meters only, with the expedition from Grid Square KH-22 and beaming north. He hopes to be on the air between 1300 until around 1900 UTC on 50.09 MHz CW. QSL via ZS6AYU direct or by the Bureau. DL7VOA will be active as J34O from Grenada between November 22nd and December 6th. Activity will be holiday style and include the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest on November 29th and 30th. QSL to DL7VOA, either direct or via the Bureau. TA1HZ reports that he will be operating from Palau as T88HZ between October 24th to the 30th, including the CQ Worldwide SSB contest. The log from this operation will be uploaded to Logbook of the World as soon as time permits. QSL to TA1HZ, direct or via the Bureau. Lastly, listen out for station HS50RAST to be active through December 31st to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand. QSL via E21EIC, direct or electronically via Logbook of the World. Amazon.com is asking the Federal Aviation Administration permission to field test drone aircraft as part of its plan to deliver packages to customers in 30 minutes or less. Amateur Radio Newsline's Cheryl Lassick, K9BIK, has the rest of the story.
In a letter to the FAA dated Wednesday, July 9th, Amazon.com said it's developing aerial vehicles as part of its previously announced Amazon Prime Air delivery service. It noted that these high-tech delivery aircraft can travel over 50 miles per hour and carry loads up to 5 pounds. The company noted that about 86% of its deliveries weigh 5 pounds or less. The Federal Aviation Administration currently allows hobbyists and model aircraft makers limited privileges to fly remote-controlled drones, but their commercial use is all but completely prohibited. Amazon is asking for an exemption to the ban so it can test its design for the proposed delivery service. The Seattle, Washington-based company says its drone testing will only take place over Amazon's private property, away from airports or areas with aviation activity, and definitely away from military bases. With Amazon's paperwork now submitted, at this point, it's all up to the FAA to decide. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Essek, K9BIK, in Zion, Illinois.
As many will remember, Amazon created a media frenzy last December when it outlined its plan to deliver packages using drone aircraft. While at the time, some thought it to be a joke, it turns out that the company is very serious in developing such a futuristic air delivery system. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the South Africa Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, a word of congratulations to the ARRL, which is holding its centenary convention as this newscast goes to air. This gathering marks the 100th anniversary of the League, which is the official representative of United States radio amateurs to our government and to the world. It is truly a remarkable achievement for any organization to last for 100 years, but the ARRL has made the mark and is not looking back. So, as the League moves into its second century of representation of the United States Amateur Radio Service, please permit us to add our thanks to the ARRL for what you have done and what you will do in the future. Without the ARRL, it's doubtful if any of us would be enjoying ham radio as we know it today. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Victoria, Texas, saying 7-3, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.